This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keefe.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined by the man who needs no introduction, but will get one anyhow. He is one half of the Sunburned Boys. He is one half of the Wayback Boys of podcasting. He is one half of the Bad Boys of Comic-Con. He is Rump Von Dump. He is Rorschach Von Dorschach. He is Rookie Mode. He is Davey Eyeballs. All hail the King of Ginger Ale, Ryan Von Dyan, Rizzle Von Dizzle, Ravy Von Davey. Davey, how are you?
Jesus Christ.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
What a start. Wow. Anytime I enter a room, I'm going to start calling you. Woo. You
feel good? That felt good, didn't it? Was I recording? I was recording. Good.
Wow. I hope you were recording. Good God, man. I was going to do the voice from Us. I was going to do the red voice, but then you just blew my doors off.
No, I blew you away. That is he. That is thy.
That is me in a nutshell. You nailed it.
Pretty good.
Ryan, nailed it.
Do you know that we are less than 2 weeks away from our next live show?
I do.
I'm excited. Oh, my God. Am I excited?
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to be able to wear sweatpants to the thing. I'm going to be so excited.
Oh, I've been having to tape my nipples down because they've been pointing
flaring
at people.
Up.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
Flaring up with a real vengeance, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's bad.
I hear you. That stuff's going around right now, so you got to be careful.
Blasting nips to everybody. Bad.
It's nip blasting season. Everybody knows it.
It really is.
You got to be careful out there. Oh, that's sort of like a PSA, I think, right out of the chute.
So yeah, kids, if you got an issue with the nipple blast, you want to tape them down,
right?
Because as we used to say to in junior high school, it's not polite to point.
It is not.
Polite to point at people. So if you feel like a nipple blast coming. Tone it down.
So get try to tape yourself. Do yourself a favor. Get some tape because April 7th at Idle Hands, we are going to be previewing Avengers Endgame. which comes out the 26th. So we're going to give you a little couple of weeks there to get ready for it. I am so excited. In fact, we have new news on it, Ryan, which we'll sure get do. To right now. So earlier today, as we're recording this on a Tuesday, Avengers tweeted out a whole bunch of posters, a bunch of individual character posters.
Correct.
Like just about every single character. And if the character survived Infinity War, the poster is in color. And then if they did not, they still got a poster, but it's in black and white. And so you're like, okay, you're going through. You're like, Tony Stark, Captain America, they're in color. Guys like Drax and Gamora are not in color. You're like, all right, going through.
Yep.
Then two of them jumped out to me. One jumped out to like the entire internet, but two jumped out to me. One, everybody's favorite from Black Panther, Shuri.
Yeah.
Is in black and white. And we didn't know that.
Do you think they did that on purpose? Or do you think that like they just plumb forgot?
I think, honestly, I can't imagine this is how they wanted us to find out. I don't think they were keeping up with it. And you know what's funny is that I think they tried telling us in one of the first trailers where the Avengers who were left are going through and they have like those graphics, remember? And it says like who's missing. And I remember we talked about it. We said, oh, it says Shuri's missing. And I said, well, she's missing doesn't mean they just didn't see her. So she's missing.
Yes.
But I think they were trying to show us then that they were aware that she also got snapped away because it was like her and Spider-Man were like back to back.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of this. If this is the case, if this is how they're choosing to do this, I am not a fan of that.
I hate it, and it's a spoiler.
It's a spoiler. Absolutely.
We got spoiler posters out there now, so keep your head on a swivel because
give us a heads
spoiler
up.
Posters by the goddamn Avengers. This isn't somebody that saw like an advanced screening. This is the actual movie itself is tweeting this shit out. And so I thought she was going to be kind of a key because she is so smart.
Yes.
But they're just like telling us with an ad campaign that, oh yeah, she turned to dust. It's like just like in Game of Thrones, you can't trust an off-camera death. Like an off-camera death doesn't exist. It's like you got to assume that person's coming back.
Yeah, and we got burned by that with Admiral Akbar.
We did. The Admiral. So
People were not happy about that.
I'm hoping he made it back. She was just a liar.
He stretched out a finger and got back in the ship just in time.
He's good. He should be fine. No, and the other one, so Shuri's the major one, and then the other one would be Valkyrie, who was not in Infinity War, and we weren't really sure. But Valkyrie, who we saw obviously in Thor Ragnarok, played by Tessa Thompson, she got a poster and she's in color.
She's so in color. She's around. Alive.
Weird.
Weird. Weird, odd stuff.
Odd choice. Odd choice.
And odd, odd way to tell people these things.
And then, Ryan, you know what the polar opposite of the Endgame posters are? That would be the Spider-Man Far From Home posters, which are pretty sweet. There's three of them got tweeted out. We retweeted it at Dork Podcast on Twitter. And it's just Spider-Man. So you go from a poster that has like 30 characters on it to just Spider-Man. So it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And he's hitting the poses. He's looking like he knows what he's doing. He looks like a seasoned Spider-Man. I'm dying to see how one thing leads to the other.
Like, I know.
I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm dying to see it.
I am too. And so that was a nice little, so that comes out later this summer. We also speaking of coming out this summer on July 4th, Stranger Things season 3 will be out on Netflix, and we got our first trailer last week. What'd you think?
A little trickery in the beginning. And what I didn't like, there's something I didn't like if you watch the trailer. Eleven's using her little powers for sport now to have some fun with people.
I know. She's like a prankster now.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't know. Like, it's not worth a bloody nose to
move
cars around.
It's not worth a bloody nose. Yeah.
You know? Like, come on. Now, there was a tough line in there, which I think hit a lot of people pretty hard. I think it might have been Mike was like, we're not kids anymore. And you're like, oh, no.
Well, the line that I like the most about this trailer is when the girl at the, I think it was like a pretzel stand or something, like asked Steve, like, how many children are you friends with?
Yeah, I think he works at the ice cream place or whatever, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's shaping up to be another great Steve season.
Great Steve and Dustin season. You need
Steve
more
and
of
Dustin season are going to be fantastic.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, Dustin. Yep. Yes, that's a good point. That's a good point. Winona Ryder looks really good. As Joyce Hopper looks good. I think they're together. They look like they're
do
together.
Yeah, and there's, you know, are they though or aren't they? You know,
I don't know.
They do one of those things.
Oof.
Did he? Okay, so is he like ripped in this season now because of the Hellboy thing, or did he put weight back on? That's what I'm dying to know.
Good point. They can always dress him up. Like, I don't think
fatten him up a little bit.
Walking around with a six pack on.
No.
You know, I don't think so. But
no.
You think this is going to be great? Because I've really enjoyed the first two seasons.
And I hope they end it. If that makes sense. I hope this is it.
I think they announced that it is.
I think they announced it too, but yeah, you never know. If someone starts writing checks, you know, like.
Yeah, no.
You know, or there's going to be a spinoff or something like that.
Oh, my God. There's going to be like like two of them come back, and you're just like, oh, don't.
And then you have us assholes are going to be like, no, but it's in the same universe. So, I just hate myself for saying stuff like that. But it's fine.
The two new kids from season two are both in it, and I hated both of them.
Oh, the redhead and her brother? Those two?
Yeah. I was not a fan.
Her older brother's doing the lifeguard thing, you know, so we might get
He's doing the lifeguard thing, and wasn't he, who was he hitting on again? He was hitting on Mike's mom, I think, right?
Yes.
And so if that happens, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, I wouldn't say. I mean, legally, there might be. I don't know how old he is.
Yeah, ethically, there might be some issues, too, but.
Let's not get caught up in the minutiae.
No, yeah, we're not going to get caught up in that. Because the kid probably playing that high schooler is probably like 30 years old. So
he's got to be above age for sure. So that comes out July 4th. Very excited for that. Also coming out later on this summer, the ninth film by Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We got the trailer. Thoughts?
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks like a Tarantino movie. It looks like something I'm really going to enjoy.
It looks good. And it's like, I enjoy Brad Pitt in most movies. And he looks like... To me, he's going to be really good.
And it was sharp. Like, there was, like, some witty back and forth, and it was, you know, quick-paced. And, you know, it's something that I was kind of on the fence about because I'm not really sure what it's about, but it doesn't matter. Like, you know, I watching the trailer, I'm like, all right, that really doesn't matter. Like, I get the idea.
So I think it's going to be, like, real characters, obviously, with Bruce Lee. You got Margot Robbie's playing Sharon Tate. There's some jackass playing Charles Manson.
Who's the guy playing Bruce Lee? Like, he looks exactly like him.
He was really good. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he talked like him. He moved like him. It was really good.
Yeah. So if there's a lot of him, I think that'll be good. So that'll be good. That'll be another standalone episode. Looking forward to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We also got a week ago, it's like right after our last episode, another trailer for John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum.
Oh my God, does this movie look awesome?
This thing's gonna rip. Speaking of hard nips, this is gonna be. Get ready for this.
Like, that's just a taste. Like, I hope they didn't give too much away, but you got.
No, I know.
Halle Berry's got dogs. He's got, like, attack dogs.
Yeah.
She's commanding them. They're doing fights on horseback, and the scene with the motorcycles looked crackers, as you would say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure it does.
Oh, I love how he went with you put the stick in the spokes, like the old days, like the days of yore, and got the guy.
Do you think this movie will have, out of all the movies that come out this calendar year, the most times that you'll say as an audience member, what the fuck?
Or I'd just be like, no fucking way. You know what I mean? Like,
this is going to take the cake, I would think.
Yeah.
Because even like, and as crazy as Endgame may be, it's not going to be like this kind of crazy. It's like a different crazy.
It's a different kind of crazy.
Yeah. You're like, come on, the fuck?
Like, yeah. Like, no way. No way.
Jesus. Yeah,
they're doing that.
But you're saying it with a smile on your face.
Oh, laughing the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan, so we're down to, as it stands right now, we're down to our Elite Eight in hashtag Dork Madness 4, Quest for Peace. These are the eight finalists from the 64 as voted on by you, the listener, and you, the Twitter follower. NHL 94, Mario Kart 64, Batman Arkham City, GTA 5, Super Smash Brothers, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, GoldenEye 007, and Zelda. Ocarina of Time.
Please stop saying Ocarina.
Ocarina of Time. Now, Ryan, what is, out of the group that is in, what is the one that you're the most surprised that's made it this far?
The one I'm most surprised that's made it this far. Modern Warfare 2. I think I'm surprised it's made it that far. Because you have a series of the classic games. Like, games that people like, no matter if you're a video game fan or not, you're like, this game's unbelievable. And granted that Modern Warfare 2, of the Modern Warfares, is probably, or of the Call of Duties, is probably the best.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it would come out of that region as high as it did.
No, me neither. That one surprised me, and so did GoldenEye. Like, GoldenEye was great at the time, but I'm surprised that that one, like, that beat Super Mario 3.
Right.
I was shocked by
it. I'm shocked by that, too. I don't think GoldenEye ages as well as people think it does.
Yeah,
it's because you haven't tried to play it recently. Yeah. If you do, you're like, this kind of sucks. You know,
right?
So,
like, I literally played Mario Kart 64 and NHL 94 like the other day, and they're both fun as hell still.
Yes.
And so GoldenEye, I'm not exactly chomping at the bits to play. So so we'll see. I mean, Mega Man 2 is out. I thought could win the whole thing. What else? Yes, Mario 3 is out. I thought could win the whole thing. So we'll see. I mean, Mario Kart 64 people seem to absolutely love. So I could see that winning the whole thing right
that's,
now.
That's one of the best games ever. That game's awesome. Speaking of games that does age well, like, I would play that right now.
Yeah. Speed, that's the way the news goes, Ryan, unless you got anything else in this part of the news.
No, that's it. We got good stuff there.
Let's get to your news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
I'm very well organized this week. I wrote stuff down, so I won't be floundering. Oh, yeah. Actually, this week, a very busy week in video game news with PAX East coming up, with PlayStation State of Play.
With what coming up?
Fuck PAX East is
coming up. That's right.
Is this weekend?
Okay, that's right.
So coming into that, so PlayStation had a couple of announcements. One of the very interesting, and we might have to get in on this, Richard. They introduced a Iron Man VR game.
Oh, hello.
Where you can actually play as Tony Stark. There was a trailer for it. This is put out by Marvel Games. It's a PlayStation exclusive, just for PlayStation VR.
I don't have to have dinner with Pepper Potts, do I?
The trailer they showed, it starts on the plane, and you're actually talking to, like, a holographic Friday.
All right.
And you have, like, the from what they showed, you have the whole head HUD set up.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking.
All right. Talking. I like that. I'll put the helmet on. I'll play.
Also this week, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, the new game from Software, came out. I've been watching a lot of this game. It's the same company that makes Dark Souls, that makes Bloodborne, that makes all of these, like, impossibly difficult games. You know, and I said it to someone, you know, I said it on Twitter, like, I'm perfectly fine watching other people get incredibly frustrated playing this game. Like, it's just not, it's not for me. I don't need that kind of, like, negativity in my life.
Yeah. We've got enough of that in Overwatch.
Yeah. It's just needless. I wouldn't say needlessly difficult, because they have, like, these games have, like, the most rabid fan base, like, ever. Yeah. And if you tell them the game, like, sucks, they're like, bleh! You know, they just, like, kind of, like, lose their mind, like Harry Potter fans.
Okay. Yeah. No, you know, there's definitely a group of people out there that love these types of games and prefer them to others. But, yeah, it's not for me.
And you know what it is? I think I was thinking about it the other day. The issue I have is, like, yes, I get that it's challenging. I get that it's rewarding when you finally do beat something. But it's not fun. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you were, like, playing, growing up playing sports, and, like, you didn't want to play that sport anymore, but you had to. And you're just like, this is just isn't fun anymore, you know?
Well, like, that was, like, if I was really bad at something early on, I was kind of done with it. So, like, when I was little, and it was, like, all the stuff in the winter, and it was, like, you can ski, you can skate, you can play basketball. And I skated, like, twice. I didn't pick it up right away. So I'm like, I'll ski and play basketball. I'm not going to skate, and I'm not going to play hockey, and I'm going to move on. Like, you're just, it wasn't fun. And I didn't want to learn it. I'll do the other stuff.
Like, there's enough stuff in my life that makes me miserable that I don't want video games to make me miserable.
No, it should be an escape. You should be able to play, like, and have a
smile.
And
that's just how I view it. You know, maybe I'm a cynic that way, but, you know.
Perhaps.
But something that does make me happy, Richard, on the athletic field and in the video game world, is just ripping piss missiles.
Yes, I agree.
And PS4's The Show comes out today.
Nice.
So that is something we'd be picking up. Maybe we, you know, get a team going. I'll throw a knuckleball at you or something.
Oh, hey, you know? get loose, get a little slap.
Play the show. Right. You know,
I want to do a little hit and run.
There's a brand new Road to the Show mode here, where you have to do, like, lifting weights and all this stuff. They completely revamped that, so that looks pretty cool. So nice. I'm into that. Nintendo announced that there are two new models of the Switch coming out. One of them is more of a handheld. It's smaller, but has less functionality. The other one is more of a beefed up version. Not on par with, like, the Xbox One S or the PlayStation 4 Pro, but a little bit better, a little bit more performance. So that's nice. And my last bit of news is Lucasfilm Games is back.
Oh boy, look
Disney,
out.
Yep, so EA was probably going to lose all of their Star Wars stuff, thank God, because their last two Star Wars games have been brutal.
Oh my God, they were the shits.
So Lucasfilm is back, so we could see some, you know, remastered games. We could see some new titles having to do with Star Wars. Maybe that game that was supposed to be a mature-rated open-world Star Wars game is going to come back, hopefully.
All right.
So, and that's all the news. That's how she goes. So
okay,
that's it.
Ryan.
Longer than a minute, longer than I wanted, but
all
here
good.
We are.
It's all the news that's fit to print. Ryan, yeah. Are you ready for the topic du jour? Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the topic du jour?
What's that, please?
Oh, it's the topic of the day. I'm glad you asked.
All right, yeah.
And today, Ryan, it is the film Us. It is Jordan Peele's second feature film, the horror movie Us, which just came out this past weekend. It's just a hair under 2 hours. It is currently on Rotten Tomatoes, rocking a 95% from the critics and a 71% from the audience score, which is a bit on the climb. It started out very low, and it is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
We begin, as we always do with our movie and TV reviews, spoiler-free. So let me begin by asking you, Ryan, did you like it?
This is going to be the hardest time I've ever answered this question, but I think my answer, honest answer is, I think so.
Ooh. All right, we'll unpack that. Now, ask me so we can have the same effect.
Did you like it?
Nope.
And you're complete, and like, that's it, like, I get it.
Nope, I didn't. This might be Rich Keefe's hot take of 2019.
Oh, boy, can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait for all the Twitter hate you're going to get.
Bring it on, people. Not a fan. And we'll really unpack this, and maybe I literally just saw it today. Like, I saw it hours
ago. So you're fresh. It's super fresh.
I haven't had a chance to, like, dig into the online and, like, look up meanings of shit and whatever. So this is just my walk out of the theater. I saw it with my wife.
Did she actually like it?
A little bit more than me.
Okay.
So more than me, which usually she's the toughest movie critic going. So she liked it more than me. I wouldn't say she loved it, though. Like, and there's things about it that she liked. And so we'll get into all of that. I guess the first part was, based on the previews, I thought it was going to be a lot scarier than it was. To me, not super scary. Definitely some scary moments, but I'm not walking away being like, holy smokes, there's not going to be a scarier movie this year.
Yeah, and I think this is the frustrating thing for me, was that when I read about it, like, Jordan Peele was doing his press for it, and he actually said, I believe the quote was like, this is a straightforward horror movie.
Right.
It is not that at all.
I didn't think so, too. Now, I think there was more horror elements than Get Out had.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. But I didn't think it would. I was anticipating it being scarier. Now, the overall story, what did you think of that?
Interesting. But there were definite parts where it was uneven and didn't really resonate with me. We'll get into that in spoilers.
Yeah.
There were definitely parts I didn't like.
No, I agree with you that. And there are definitely some things that I did not really like about it. I thought it could have been better. Like, sort of an interesting idea, yet could have been better.
Yes.
Is maybe how I would look at it.
And there was, in the second act, it was frustrating at times.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I thought, and the other part of it is, I really wanted to like it. I like Jordan Peele. I like Get Out. I love Lupita Nyong'o, who, by the way, flying up the Rich Keefe Steal a Smooch power rankings.
Oh, she!
Flying
but like I said,
up,
how do you
up,
look? How do you
rocket
look?
Rocket ship.
That she's gorgeous.
Yes,
like she's not like hot or like
no.
She's
no.
like if right, she walked right, into a room, if she walked into a room, you would stop what you were doing.
I would trip. I think I would trip.
Yeah, just
I would
to
trip.
Like,
even if I was standing still, I would trip.
Yeah,
or like fall over myself. But. And I like Winston Duke a lot, M'Baku from...
Yes.
He's fantastic. So, like, they're the two main characters in this, and I love both of them. So, usually, if you like a director, you like the actors, going in, it's going to have, like, a pretty high floor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, all right, and I like horror movies. So, I'm like, this movie, I should have walked out being, like, 6 out of 6.
Yep.
And I nowhere near thought that.
Mm-hmm.
The humor... Like, again, I know it's a horror movie, but it's also Jordan Peele. So, did you find some laughs in there?
No.
Not really, right?
Nope. And I'll get into that more later. But what was supposed to be funny came off as like goofy and like lame.
Yeah, like there was a couple of lines too where you're just like almost like predictable, and you're like, ugh,
yeah,
so you finished that.
Yeah.
You still went there. Mm. I did enjoy the use of the music.
The music was great. The music was a great.
Right.
Character, like a supporting character.
It was really good. Both like the like mainstream songs, but then also just like the score itself and everything.
Yes.
So that was really like that helped it. Like if they didn't have that, God, I might have liked it even less. obviously I liked Get Out more. I assume you did too.
I did too. I liked Get Out a lot more.
Would you recommend this for people to see in the theater?
Not in the theater. Oh, not necessarily. I saw it in like, that was my very first time. The theater near me just got their Dolby theater. Have you ever been in one of these?
Is it like IMAX or what's the difference?
It's not, it's more sound. Like it has like a crystal clear picture, but there's speakers running up all the way up the middle and behind you. So like you can hear if there's like a creak in the door, like behind someone, you hear it behind you.
Oh, that was probably pretty cool.
It's actually for a horror movie. It's perfect. You know, or like a bit. So I would recommend, you know, with high end sound.
Yeah.
Horror movies are always better, but not necessarily see this in a theater. You don't have to.
No, see, I wouldn't. Like, I would watch it. I would, like, you know, if it comes out on HBO or comes out on Netflix, I would give it a go. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be curious what people's opinions are of it. But to me, it's not worth the $15 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many movies coming out that you have to see in the theater. Like, all these, like, Endgame, even Shazam. I know you're down on Shazam, but, like, that, you're going to have to see that on a big screen, I feel like.
I think it's one of those movies, yeah. It's
yeah. Just, yeah. So this is not, I mean, anything else non-spoiler before we get to our dork scores?
No, I just, I left the theater with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
And listen, and maybe people who love it are going to look at me, and by the time I get through analyzing this and say, well, you're just a simpleton and you like stupid stuff, then fine. I don't care. Maybe you're right. This just wasn't for me. And again, I wanted to like it. I'm going with a 2.5.
Wow. Yeah. All right. And this is a guy who gave Suicide Squad a 4.
I'd like to Days of Future Past that. I would like to lower that to like a deuce.
I'm going
to
give it a soft 4.
Okay. Like a flaccid 4.
That could change though. So okay. But we'll get into that once we start talking, hit the spoiler alarm.
We stand right now, the dork scores, I'm going 2.5. Ron Vaughn is going with a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay, here we go. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Diving into spoilers. One of the first things that stands out to me that I didn't love about it, and you sort of mentioned it earlier in the episode, is Lupita Nyong'o. So basically it's like, you know, doppelgangers, right?
Yes.
It's like there's like clones that live underneath the ground. Like, so they start out the goddamn movie with the... Oh, like there's all these underground like subways that are like nobody's down there. Like, just kidding.
Like, why did you need that?
There's a ton of people down there is what it goes on. I also liked, so when they first start out in 1986, they're showing when they're watching TV and like the VHS is next to it.
Yeah.
And one of them was the Goonies, but another one was Chud.
Chud, yep.
And I was like, oh my God. I'm
and
like,
one was
go.
The Man with Two Brains and Jaws, I think, right?
Well, the kid was definitely wearing a Jaws T-shirt.
Yeah, but I think that
may have been a tape too.
Yeah.
Was it Jaws like the right stuff? There was like another
the right
one
stuff.
Over there.
Yeah,
but so Chud, for those who don't know, is the cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers,
which just tips you off right there. You know,
so Chud. So basically, we're going to be dealing with the Earth people and then the Chud people in this movie, and that's what you got. But when we first get introduced to Lupita Nyong'o's. Like the person on the like with the scissors,
Adelaide in red. Yeah,
like why does she talk like this? And I think, it drove me nuts. I was like, are we seriously doing that? I'm like, I can't take it seriously right now. I'm having a hard time. Like it was like a serious point when she like it was supposed to be scary.
Yeah,
but it was just like it was too outrageous for me. And I'm like, I don't know.
The thing is, like, she didn't use her voice, or like it hurt her to use her voice. And the people who lived underground, none of them talked but her. And you find out after that's because they pulled the old switcheroo.
I know they did the Shyamalan twist.
Yeah, which I like, have some questions about that. That wasn't incredibly clear.
Yeah, she come out and talk like this. Oh, hey, run! Hey, why don't you run?
But it was fucking freaky as hell, you know?
It was freaky, but it was also kind of like, less of that would have been better.
Yeah, but like the second she opened her mouth, you were like, oh my God. Like,
oh yeah,
this is the scariest thing ever.
She looked nuts and it was crazy, but I'm just saying like, but then it's like any kind of scary thing. It's almost like a scary face. And then once they just keep it there, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like that's what the person looks like. Mm-hmm. But with the voice, she's like going on like a monologue. I'm like, okay, like for the love of Christ, would you cool it with this?
Yeah.
Would you cool it? But so like the motivations of this,
a little off. Like to me, it was like, I get it, but I didn't get it. Like so here's why I said this was going to be a 4 for me, but that could change.
Yeah.
This is definitely a movie I have to see again.
I don't know if I could do it. It felt like a long 2 hours for me.
But I have some ideas Yeah. And I want to know if I'm right. You know, it's one of those things, like, I want to, like, I have some ideas as to what the whole purpose of this, because you know what Jordan Peele movies, like Get Out, it wasn't ever about the horror. It was about something else. It was about some, like,
well, I guess my wife said when we were leaving the theater, she's like, so what, nature versus nurture? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
To me, it was more, and I was doing some reading afterwards, obviously, so this isn't my, I had this idea, but it, obviously it's not my idea, but like the idea of like privilege and the idea of like opportunity. And it's like put on incredible display here. Like you have the people who are just like you, but live underground and are not afforded the same opportunities as you. And but they have the ability, you know what I mean? So like there's the idea of like privilege and opportunity and things like that, that I think he's kind of playing with. But it didn't always work like that. It didn't, because here's an example. So when they do the switcheroo and the big twist ending is like the normal little girl at the real Adelaide was, they switched.
So Lupita Nyong'o met the chud version of her when she was really little, and then the chud replaced her. And so now the chud is living on Earth or above ground, and then the real-life Lupita Nyong'o is stuck with the chuds.
Yeah, and she's stuck with the chuds. So, like, but the idea is that the people above, and she says the people above ground control the people below, right?
Yeah. I know,
so when they switch, did that switch too? Because remember she said that when she became like the anointed one to the chuds, we're just going to keep calling them the chuds because
that's the simplest way. Chuds.
When she became like the chosen one for the chuds, and it was because she could dance. Now, was she the one dancing or was the one above the one dancing?
I think, well, she's a clone of her, right?
Yeah, so they were both doing the same things, but who
was controlling
it? So they
could both do the same stuff, but my problem is, so if they're clones, when did they clone each other? And so, like, so 1986, there's a little girl version of both, and so you're like, okay, so even if they cloned each other moments prior to that, or months prior, weeks prior, whatever, but then they have to make sure that they get matched up with the same partner above as they do below. And then they have to have kids, and the kids are the same. Or did they clone the kids? And then if they did clone the kids, when did they take the kids?
Yeah, it was all – that was the part that was,
it's like,
very
convoluted.
Muddy.
Like, that part's too convoluted for me. And, like, they try to, like, say, hey, don't worry about that because look at this. There's a switcheroo. So you're supposed to go, oh, my God, that was her the whole time. But you're like, well, what about the logistics of all this bullshit? And then – so wouldn't her – whole motivation talking about the real Lupita Nyong'o, who is the one that talks like this now.
Yeah, the chud one. Yeah. Oh, that's the real one. Yeah.
Wouldn't she just want to kill the chud one? Why does she hate everybody?
She wanted to like take her time, but because she,
but then
she
was trying to rile everybody up to take down the people from Earth. But like, I don't think all the people, not all the people above ground are aware of what's going on underground.
No, none of them were.
That's what I'm saying. It's
and the
like,
other thing
okay.
too, what and it was odd that like the whole hands across America thing, like the idea is that like when normal people tried to do that, it didn't work. But when the chuds did it, it worked.
Right.
Like I remember like hands across America, like hearing about it and like being like a huge failure.
Yeah.
And then, but the chuds did it. Like they were
like,
able
realistically,
to do it.
Okay, there's just so much of the world is covered by water, Ryan. We've already been over this.
Or there's like people who don't live in certain parts of the country, you know? Like,
yeah. You have a big hole in the, like, you know,
like Montana
Wyoming.
Or like the Dakotas, like this
big
Wyoming.
Sky country.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
really nobody
crowded,
there. So
like the cities.
But, I mean, I like the idea of like that horror movie being about more than just, you know, stabbing people and whatever. But there was definitely parts that weren't flushed out enough and that were downright, like, frustrating. Like, I remember the one scene where they were getting away from – they were at the White family's house and they got away. And they're in the Range Rover – or the Land Rover or Range Rover. Yeah. And the preteen daughter is, like, sitting at the wheel. She's like, I'm driving. I'm like –
you just killed, like, there's like doppelgangers on the streets and you all have just killed somebody.
And you don't drive.
Right.
You know what I mean? And my wife
was
like
freaking out.
My wife was like, oh, I would be fucking screaming and ripping that kid out of the car and be like, get the fuck out of the car. Like, there's no way you're driving.
I thought that was one of the best scenes to me. And I was hoping that the movie was going to pick up pace. So once they originally fight off their own doppelgangers, they go to Elizabeth Moss's house.
And Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they have like the twin girls. They go over there. And to me, still at that point, I'm thinking, well, we know that young Lupita Nyong'o saw something. And so maybe this is just her family. Like, I didn't know that everybody had a doppelganger at that point. I don't think anybody knew that at that point. Yeah, I mean, maybe people thought that, but we didn't know. And then so Elizabeth Moss is like, I think I heard something. And she's talking to her husband. And then they're looking up. Then the twins are standing there. And then the chud versions of the twins come out and kill them.
Just stab them in the neck.
I was like, oh, shit.
So
I was like,
here we go. Stabbing.
I'm like, business is picking up. This is going to get crazy. And, like, there were crazy moments. Again, it was a good use of some of the music. And then she's calling for music. And NWA comes on, which is cool.
Which is funny, yeah.
But it was like, all right, then from there, it was still just like, what are we doing? And, like, what's the end? So now they're just all above ground now? And it's why now? And the other thing which was weird, and I know we're bouncing around, but, again, I just saw the goddamn thing. They go to that lake house.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to the beach. But they were also at the lake house last year. Nothing happened. Everything was fine a year ago. Same kids, same husband. And for some reason, the husband didn't want to go to the beach then, or, like, what the hell?
And now he's all about it and, like, has a boat. Like, I don't.
Yeah. And she's just, like, freaked out. And also, like, if you had that happen to you, would you go anywhere near? Like,
I wouldn't even go near the house.
But honestly, like, if something that fucked up happened to you, and say you grew up in Boston.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you move to, like, San Fran or Chicago
move as far
or something?
Away as I could. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be, like, going back to the same goddamn, like, boardwalk.
No.
But I was like, why now? And, like, they have, like, a line in there. They're like, it's taken years for us to come back into the formula. You're like, what? You're like, okay. I don't know, man. I was thinking, and it had, like, the Strangers vibe at first, but it was, like, obviously more than that.
Yes.
Like, the Strangers is just a very simple thing. Still very, very scary, but it's just very simple. So this had so much more, but it had that same thought and, like, just them looking out. There's a family in the front yard. Like, that kind of stuff is still scary. But then, like, they go to all the other stuff, and it's just, like, stabbing each other with a fire poker a million times. And you're like,
hitting each other with rocks. And
yeah.
Like pick better weapons. Like, that thing's going to break. The golf club's going to break. You know, you got to pick better weapons.
But, like, she's doing that whole monologue, and she's talking about how, like, oh, we're all, like, the shadow was split and, like, the souls and all. So I'm like, all right. Like, you're losing me.
Yeah, and that's it. Me. There were times in the movie where I was like, all right, you're losing me. Like, this is, like, in the middle of the, and maybe the girl driving the car, my wife brought up the point, like, well, maybe they have to kill their own. Like, they have to kill their own, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that would have made sense, actually. It was like, you're just replacing, like, don't go on a killing spree. Like, find your person, and we're taking their place.
Yeah, and the family technically all does that because they, you know, she throws her off the roof of the car, and
that would have made more sense. But yeah, Elizabeth Moss was, like, going after all of them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like,
the other thing that I know, like I said, I know we're bouncing around, but, like, at the end, you know, you're left with this idea of, I was reading up on this. They were talking about, like, appropriation and, you know, talking about history and how, like, you either change it, make it better, or you ignore it. And the idea that, like, she realizes that she's the bad one. Like, that's been a repressed memory her whole life. And her son kind of realizes it too, because he was down there with them and probably heard the whole thing. And so they both know.
Yeah. Like, especially in the car, like, at the end, like, he's definitely convinced.
And his choice is to, like, ignore it and just be like, well, that's part of the past. And, you know, we've, you know, murdered and done bad things to these people. We're just going to ignore it and move on.
Because also, like, when she, a couple of her kill scenes, like, the son sees, and she's going, like crazier than you would think.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's a crazy time, don't get me wrong, but, like, some of the noises that she's making and just how, like, kind of primal she is, I think boy.
That's her nature. That's who she should be, you know?
Right.
So that's, like,
right,
the clever way of doing that. But again, I think this is, like you said, you used the word convoluted, and I think that's it. I think it's a good idea, and the first act of this movie where they're building up all this tension until the scene when they're all sitting together. After that scene, it kind of, like, loses me.
Yeah,
you know, that's where the build up to that, when they're standing in front of the fire and they're all, like, looking at each other.
But, like, also, like, so why was the young, like, the chud version of the son? How come his face was burned, but the other kids wasn't?
Well, that was the whole thing. Like, she was talking about, like, how he was born into, like, you know, he was cut out. The second kid was cut out of her, but I had to do it myself. And, like, he was born. And she said, like, he was born into the fire. And you're like, well, why?
Right. It's like, so you're the same almost all the way, except for certain things that we choose for you not to be the same about.
So just so you look different?
Because, like, the girl was, she just had a crazy, like, the little girl was, like, she just had a crazy look on her face and, like, shorter hair. But and she, like, other than that, they're about the same.
I thought it was also, like, clever, too, that, like, the girl didn't want to do track. Like, she didn't really like running. And the chud version of her, like, all she wanted to do was run.
Well, it's funny. There was also that scene where when Lupita Nyong'o's on the beach talking to Elizabeth Moss. And Elizabeth Moss, like, you're all right? She's like, yeah, I just don't really like to talk. And you're like, well it's clearly. Because,
yeah. And then when she was little,
she wouldn't talk.
Yeah, when exactly. they got her back after that incident, she wouldn't talk.
Yeah, so I like that part. And they're like, oh, she's only gone for half hour. But you're like, well, you don't know what happened to her. And like, so, I mean, that's interesting. Like, that's fine. Yeah.
And if they just stuck with that, but the whole thing with the whole scene with, like, the white family, like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you even need that in the movie. Do you?
Maybe not. I mean, you are showing
that there's more of the people. There's, like, everyone has a double and it doesn't matter, like, how.
Yeah, I think that did help for me. Like, that everybody. Yeah, right. That you saw that before you saw, like, the Hands Across America. You saw, like, the whole thing. But it's also interesting that that's, like, her main motivation, because that's, like, the last thing she remembers before she went down there.
And it's really easy to wipe out a bunch of chuds if they're just standing in a line holding hands, right?
Yeah, you should be able to wipe them out. Like, so at the very end, they show, like, helicopters above, and, like, they should be able to take care of business, I would think.
Yeah, you think, but I don't understand what that purpose of that, like, what statement that was making.
No, I don't know.
And this is the reason I have to see it again, is because I'm like,
well, let me know what you think. I couldn't.
The thing is like, I just don't. And this is I'm not dumb. Like, I think we've established that neither one of you are, like, stupid people, but, like, I just feel like I missed it. You know, I
definitely did. I definitely missed something. So obviously I think this was supposed to be kind of telling, but when she was like, who are you people? And she goes, we're Americans.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that just like a shot at Americans?
But I think it's the idea that we're the same as you. We just haven't been given the same opportunities you have.
Yeah.
And I think that's sense. It's drawing the line and saying that, like, no matter what, like, we grew up in, like, by the way, I don't know who built that building and how that fits so many people down there.
So are we led to believe, Ryan, that what's the Earth population? Like 6 billion?
6 billion or something.
So there's 6 billion people underground.
And they're all in, like, these very well maintained rooms with endless supply of rabbits.
I was just about to say, and everybody gets their own wabbit.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the idea of, like, the white rabbit and, like, going down the rabbit hole, I mean, that's obviously there, too. But I just don't, again, there's so much, I think it's too much. I think there's so much going on that it's, like, hard to focus on one thing. As you can tell from this podcast and us reviewing this movie, it's very difficult to, like, nail this down to one thing.
So I think we're up to 7.6 billion people in the world.
So there's close to 15 billion people above and below.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
And so somebody all over the world built these things underground?
Yeah.
Like you said, and they're like, hey, make sure everybody grabs a rabbit.
Or is it just America?
And, like, they clearly have to eat, right? Like, they're not robots, they're clones.
Well, remember she was saying that, like, you got candy and I had to eat, like, rabbit.
Oh yeah. And, like, we got toys, but my toys were, like, razor blades, and I'm like, is this a metaphor? Or
I think it's just hard. Like, you lived an easy life and I lived a hard life.
Stunk, dude, it stunk. Now the other part was the guy with Jeremiah 11:11.
Yep.
So I looked that up. Jeremiah 11:11 is, therefore this is what the Lord says, I am about to bring upon them disaster that they cannot escape. They will cry out to me, but I will not listen to them. Like, all right.
Okay. Like, is that, like, that's cool, but is it supposed to be, like, profound? You know, I just,
yeah, is it supposed to be, like, deeper than it is? It's supposed to have, like, more of a meaning than I'm certainly taking away.
Yeah, or just saying, like, the end of the world is coming and fine.
Right.
But that's one of, like, those, like, Old Testament books, or is that New Testament? It's like it's Old Testament, but I don't really remember that part of the Bible.
Who's to say? Now, some of the recent, like, horror movies that were out there, like, last year, like, I obviously had a lot of problem with A Quiet Place, and I would say this to me is, like, kind of similar. I would say Hereditary was probably better.
Oh, Hereditary for sure is better.
Hereditary is better. I know you like Quiet Place. You probably like Quiet Place more, or do you like it about the same?
About the same. But the thing is, like,
I mean, Quiet you didn't Place hate was, this movie as much as I did.
I didn't hate it.
Was like, this just like, honestly, if it wasn't Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, if it was like two actors that I didn't like, I would have, and it was the exact same thing, I probably would have given it even a worse.
And
I would have hated it more.
Lupita Nyong'o was great. And
she was awesome.
She did a great job. But the issue, like, again, and I hate to say this because it makes me sound like a dummy, but like, there were parts of this movie, like, I didn't get.
I know. I literally wanted to like sit down with Jordan Peele and be like, explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old. what am I missing here? And I don't think it's much, because I get sort of, you know, the two sides here, but come on.
And like, that's fine, but like, I get, like, the on a superficial level, like, I understand what you were going for, but like, I don't, there were times where, like, and again, like, Winston Duke's character, and there were like jokes in this movie that were just like fucking bad. Like, they're just jokes. Like,
yeah, he had a couple that were like, it's not his fault. That was what was written, but he just kind of put it out there, and you're like, all right. Yeah, like, there wasn't enough. Like, I feel like other horror movies, because you're so tense at times, a joke, it can be like a 6 or a 7, like on a scale of 10, like of a joke, and like, but you get like a good chuckle out of it because you're kind of like nervous. But these jokes were like 2, 3.
I think he said a joke once, and I actually said, ew. Out loud. I was like, ew. Like, that's a terrible joke. And like, it wasn't meant to be corny. Like, it was meant to be like clever. And I'm like, ugh.
It was pretty violent too. I mean, there was some nasty stuff in there.
Like, I keep going back to it. Like, on a superficial level, I understand the symbolism of the movie, but like, I don't fucking get it, man. I have to watch it again.
Ugh. Well, if you do, let me know. And I'm curious, you guys that have already seen this, you guys, make sure you email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at dorkpodcast. Let us know what you think, because, man, I was really – this was one of the more highly anticipated movies for me going into the year. I think it was in my top 5. Like, I was really excited to see it. You know, we talked about Get Out at the time. We both really liked. And the previews just looked scary as hell, and even the poster did. You got the glove. Like, what's the symbolism of the glove?
The glove and the like, the motorcycle glove, and why? Where did they get all of those pairs of gold shears?
They all have shears.
Those red jumpsuits? Like, you know what I mean?
Like Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I want to say this. I want to be very clear about this, Richard.
Yes.
Me not understanding something is not an opportunity to tell me on Twitter what you think. So there. Wait, that is.
What do you mean? Oh, no, yes, it is.
It's not. Me needing to find more understanding in something is not an invitation, is what I'm saying to both you and our loyal, wonderful listeners.
Well, I'm curious what the listener thinks of the movie. Yeah, I don't care if they can call me dumb. Don't call Ryan dumb, but you can call me dumb. I don't give a shit.
I'll figure it out myself. I'll Google it. I'll Bing it.
Let me ask you this. So when Chud version of Lupita Nyong'o went up the escalator and then found her way into that funhouse.
Yeah.
How come, I don't know, literally nobody else has escaped?
And not only that, there was only one. Why is there only one escalator going down in that building? It doesn't go up.
How do you get out of there? Exactly. Oh, I don't know. A 8-year-old girl can get out.
Who can walk, apparently walks backwards up the escalator.
Man.
Like, how, that doesn't make any, I get it, it's symbolic, I get it, whatever. But like,
I don't care about that. So
not only that, you've been stuck in there for 25 years.
Right.
Or so 30 years or whatever.
And you were able to get everybody together based on dance, which is a beautiful thought.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Very nice.
And how do you get the other Chuds out of there?
I don't know how you mobilize all these Chuds. I really don't.
Especially when they're seemingly not in control of themselves.
I feel like if right now, and maybe I'm living in a fantasy land, but I feel like if there were 7.6 billion people living underground right now, it'd be common knowledge. We would know by now.
We would know. Yeah.
Because there'd be a bunch of these weirdos popping up, and we'd be like, oh my God, that guy looks just like me. Like, let's find out what's going on here. Like, there.
Speaking of that,
they couldn't be under there. Because think about it, they were there at least since 1986.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
You're aware of the flat earth theory?
Yeah, Kyrie Irving.
Have you heard of the donut theory?
The donut theory. What is that one?
That the world is shaped like a donut and in the middle of it is that's where the dinosaurs and the Vikings went. have you heard this one?
No,
you should
I've not.
Keepspiracy. You should look that one up. Donut
I'll
theory.
I'll jump donut theory. I like that a lot.
Yeah, sweet dino action in the middle of the earth.
I like that a lot.
Dinosaurs and Vikings in the middle, and they're going to get
Holy
out someday.
Smokes.
Yeah.
That would be trouble. So they're living together right now,
yeah.
those two?
Maybe they're donut riding theory. Them. Maybe they've tamed them. Maybe there's like...
That'll be a good topic at the next Comic-Con that we go to.
Yeah. What do you think
do
of the donut theory?
Donut theory. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we got to find somebody that's in on the donut theory to explain it to
there
us.
There are flat earth conventions that I think we kind of have to go to.
Yeah, we probably should.
We should and branch... Since we... Yeah. Since, you know, we're on fuck packs, we should find... more interesting conventions to go to, like a flat earth convention.
That's a good point. I went to the Paraween Festival in Salem, Mass a few years ago, which was all about people that had interacted with aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty good. I got some good interviews there. We used them on the radio show. So that was probably before the podcast, even. That was a long time ago. But this would be, yeah, flat earth convention's a good idea. Find some good stuff.
Yeah.
But man, this was a letdown and a half. I'm trying to think what other questions I might have.
There's so
I'll
many questions.
Think of them.
There's so many questions.
There's a lot.
One of them I was talking about because you know, Jordan Peele's married to Chelsea Peretti, who is like incredibly funny. And
she's super funny. Yeah.
And she's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and she's an unbelievable stand-up comic. And I turned to my wife once during the movie and I asked her out loud. I said, do you think Chelsea Peretti looks at Jordan Peele like at a screening of this movie and is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know.
He's sitting there like I picture him like yeah, putting see, his index fingers together like under his nose, like under that little divot in his nose, just sitting there like super serious and her turning to him and being like, dude, what is the matter with you?
Like, what are you doing?
And he's like, shh. Yeah.
Do you think she'll be in any of his movies?
No, 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 no.
No?
No. Maybe.
So just according to Wikipedia, Jordan Peele played a dying rabbit in this. So I don't know if he like did a noise or what he did. But
what?
Yeah, I don't know, but like he himself is not in the movie.
No, his voice is in the movie.
I guess, or maybe he made a noise. That's what it says.
I'm telling you, man, like this guy, there's no question that he is the king of like what I call like new horror. Like he is the absolute king of it.
And that's the thing is like, okay, and we talk about there was a fear that, all right, his first movie was fantastic. The second one, hard to beat it, right? So it could go a couple of different directions. But the third one, I'm all over. I can't wait for whatever his third movie is going to be. I'm going to go see the shit out of that. I did like there was definitely feeling of The Shining, like when they were doing some of those establishing shots at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like you definitely felt that. Like we said, Jaws. I know there was the T-shirt, but even like a sense of Jaws, Goonies, like that kind of thing was all in there.
Yeah, and I hope like I didn't mind this movie. I like I said, I have a lot of questions and I feel dumb, but I hope this is his worst movie.
Yeah, me too. I for sure do.
I hope he doesn't like go the Shyamalan route and just like lose it.
I don't think he has anything else planned. Well
he's got the Twilight Zone show, which I'm actually psyched on that. I mean, I think that's right up his alley. Like, I think it's more of like that kind of thing, like supernatural horror kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So I'll have to check that out.
I'm excited for that. And it's on like, is it on Paramount, like streaming service? Like, it's on a weird, it's not like on TV or something.
Oh,
it's on like NBC's app.
Oh, it's on CBS All Access.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on something weird. Oh,
that's got a crazy cast, it looks like.
It does. So I'm excited for that. But the first
actors
one I saw
set to star in episodes include Tessa Farminga, Adam Scott, John Cho, Jacob Tremblay, Stephen Yeun, Jennifer Goodwin, Tracy Morgan, Greg Kinnear, Zazie Beetz, Seth Rogen, and Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah. So like that. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, anything else on this?
No, I just got to see it again. I got to see it again. I should have seen it twice before we did this podcast.
Are you going to see it in the theater again or are you going to wait?
I'll wait.
Yeah, okay. See, yeah.
Or I'll get it on the Fire Stick or something.
Yeah.
Shouldn't say that out loud, but you know.
No, keep that on the low.
You know how the sausage is made. Low down.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Say that again. Say that again. Keep it on the
down low.
Low down.
No doubt.
There it is.
Dude, are you sniffing my boxers? What? No, man. No.
No, man.
Hey, Lil Kim. Fat. The pH.
The pH. We're just riffing. We're just riffing now.
We're having a good time. Yep. We're having a better time than that goddamn movie. Anyway, that's us.
If we were Mac and Goo and didn't have to pay to see it, I think it would have been a little bit more enjoyable for you.
So I have not. No, actually, I got a free ticket.
Oh, you now everyone can kiss my ass. It's Rizzle Von Dizzle against the world at this point.
No. I would have given you Listen, I would have given you one. It was Boston area only, so it wouldn't, you wouldn't have been able to use it.
Well, again, Hartford against the world. Then we're gonna take everybody.
Blame the demographics. Don't blame the co-host on this one. I could have gotten you. That's why my wife went. I'm like, hey, let's just go see it. We got it free. It was one of those weird ones where it was like, you can't see it during the weekend, but you can see it like during the week.
And you can't see it past 7 p.m., but you can see
some bullshit. So I'm like, all right, fine. Like, let's go some afternoon. That's why I watch it today. But anyway, no. So even and I had a Long Island iced tea.
Oh, you need to treat yourself.
I snuck Whizzlers in. So I had a perfect setup.
Oh, you did the seats. We had the ices and rum.
If you didn't have that, you probably would have given it a 3.
Oh, probably, yeah. But I enjoyed that very much.
All right, so Ron Vaughn gives it a 4. Yep. I'm stuck on a 2.5. Mm-hmm. And so email us, tweet us, let us know what you think. Ryan, should we get to the pick of the pod?
Sure, why not?
Pick of the pod.
All right, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may also defend a goal?
I will take the ball. I will receive. All right. This is something I saw a while ago, and it might have even been a pick of the pod way, way early on, but it's now on Netflix. It's one of my favorite documentaries. I've been on a documentary kick recently. Anvil, the story of Anvil. It's about this band who came out in like the early 80s, and like every band that they interview Lars Ulrich from Metallica, they interview Slash, they interview Scott Ian from Anthrax, and they interview the guy from Slayer. And all of them are like, yeah, we totally stole their sound.
Oh, wow.
And these guys are like nobodies. They live in Canada, and they're like, maybe that was like a Canadian thing, and like maybe that hurt them or whatever. But all of these guys cite these guys as like an influence, and they're like, trying to make like, they've made like 14 albums to date.
Interesting.
But they're like nobodies in Canada. And so it's like, it's a pretty interesting story. And these guys are just wild. Like they're still, like they're in a time machine. Like they're in their 50s, but they're like, they look like they still should be in the 80s. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So check out, it's called Anvil. The name of the band is Anvil. Anvil, the story of Anvil. Great documentary. Check it out.
All right. That's a good one. This one's messed up. And so I was clearly living under a rock, or maybe I was living with the Chuds, Ryan.
Yeah.
Because if you hear the name Madeline McCann, what do you think of?
Is that the one, the girl, she's been all over the news recently, right?
Yeah. So I had no idea.
She's the one with the blood test. I forget the name of the company.
She's the girl that went missing in...
Because
2007, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking of the other one. What's the one? The girl. They just did two documentaries on her. Like, the CEO lady who talks like this. You know what I mean? But she
Beating the Ongo.
No, like that. No, she had like a. No. Anyway, forget it.
She All right. So anyway, like, so, yeah. So maybe I don't feel as bad because Madeline McCann was a girl who like in 07, I think it was, went missing. So she's from England. Her parents are from England, and they were vacationing in Portugal, and she was 3 years old at the time and then went missing. And like, these are the most fucked up stories, obviously. I don't know why I watch them, but I do. And like these Netflix documentaries, they've just gone so in on these like whodunits and like falsely imprisoned and like these just terrible stories. So
people
like,
love that shit. But isn't this the one where like the people left the hotel door room open and just left her?
Yeah. And so basically it's either 8 or 10 episodes. Like it's a ways. And I've only watched 3 of them. So I can't even if I wanted to, I couldn't spoil too much of it. But the whole idea is they're vacationing in Portugal. It's these two, they must be somewhat young, probably say like in their 30s or so, man and a woman. And then they have, I think, 3 kids, and Madeline is one of them. But they're vacationing with a bunch of other families, and they have kids. So there's like a total of, I want to say, 6 adults, 8 kids, or maybe it's 8 adults, 6 kids, whatever. And they would, at night, leave their kids in the hotel room or like whatever it is. Like, I don't know if it's an Airbnb or whatever, but something like that. And then they would walk and have dinner like outside. And so the kids were by themselves, and they're all super young. And they claim, anyway, that around the table, they would go on shifts, and like one adult every like 20 minutes would walk back, make sure there was no noise in any of the kids' rooms, and then come back. But what's really fucking bizarre about it is first of all, they all seem pretty well-to-do. Like, I think they both might even be doctors.
Yeah.
And there is, like, a babysitting service at the hotel, which they chose not to use. Yet they would leave their kids in the room. That was such a red flag to me. And I'm not even a parent yet. And I was like, you just leave your little kids there? Like, I don't care how safe Portugal is. Like, you don't
absolutely
do that,
not.
Right?
No. No.
That's insane. And so, anyway, so that was already a red flag. But, and then, like, their stories didn't really add up either. But then what happened was, so this, again, all the people on vacation, none of them are from Portugal. And then, so the Portugal police get involved. But then some of the English people started, like, they were, like, complaining about the Portugal police. So then, like, some of the English police came in. And then it was sort of like a back and forth on the two. Like,
yeah.
They're not doing their jobs. But, like, I don't know. From what I'm seeing, like, they were doing their jobs. It's, like, more like, you know, they weren't – I don't think they should be blamed for it. But anyway, so it's, like, this whole thing. But then each – it is a little slow going. And they're, like, hour-long episodes. But each one, they kind of provide you with something else. Like, who, like, the early people they thought could have done it, and then how it starts to turn a little bit. And it's like, eventually they start to point back towards the parents a little bit.
Well, let me issue a challenge to people who like this kind of thing.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to say I like it. I somehow watch it.
Watch the, again, another documentary. I know I'm big on documentaries recently.
That's all good.
There's one called Dear Zachary, a letter to a son about his father. If you can stomach that documentary, first of all, you're a psycho. And secondly, you will never, ever watch one of these things again. Of like where like kids, like bad things happen to people. Like you'll never watch that again.
Well, I won't. I almost had to turn it off because one of the episodes, and they're just giving you like all this different information. And like they haven't connected this dot yet, but they were talking about like another missing kid. And then there was like this whole thing where this was out in Europe, not that it doesn't happen here, but it was out in Europe, and it was this huge ring of like pedophiles that they like, they busted. Like
True Detective shit.
Yeah. They gotta get off of this or I am gonna like throw up. I'm like, this is so fucking gross.
Yeah.
But the other big thing in this documentary is like why, obviously they want to find this girl, but she got so much attention. Like it was a worldwide phenomenon and the parents were on TV all the time and there was update. The police were giving press conferences all the time and they interviewed some of these other parents of kids that were missing or like just people who knew kids that missed. And they're like, you know, they weren't trying to like rip the girl by any means, but they're saying like, why, what are we doing here? Like, why is this the number one story in the world? And yet there are thousands of kids that are missing.
Right.
So it's weird. And they mentioned a couple of the stories from New York way back in the day that like the first kid that was put on the milk carton and like, you know, Walsh, the guy who did America's Most Wanted, like his son that got taken, like all that stuff. They mentioned those. It's fucked up. And like, I know it's not for everybody, but it's on Netflix right now. It popped up and I was like, I'm curious how it's going to end, but I guess honestly, it's not. There's no real ending.
Like, give me like I was watching the case against Adnan Syed on HBO, which is
I've
good.
Been watching that. Too,
I listened to the podcast, so it's a lot of information I already knew. But like, those are two adults. Like what? Like, granted, they're like teenagers, but they're like 18 years old and like 19 years old.
No, I understand.
Like,
oh yeah, they're not.
They're not three.
Right.
Like it. Right. How? Like, why would you? Right. Again, this is like playing to put a bow on it. It's like playing like a Dark Souls game. Like, why would you put yourself through something you know is going to make you miserable?
Great point. I don't know.
And don't tell me it's because you enjoy a challenge. Like, I'm going to watch tough to stomach TV because I enjoy a challenge. Like, no. Like, that's, I don't know. I'm out on this stuff.
Well, and I don't blame you. And I was having I watch this by myself. My wife will not watch it.
I will not watch it. No.
And so she was saying the same thing. She was like, why are you watching this? And I'm like, well, maybe I'll solve the crime. And she's like, no, you're not going to solve it. She's like, yeah, just stop going into the basement and watching these fucking terrible shows.
Yeah. It's just going to freak you out. And it's just going to like make you like close your door and lock it and never leave. Like, that's all it's going to do.
That is true.
You know, go watch the Fred Rogers movie, for God's sake.
I did watch that. That was very nice. I did. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that very much.
Did you give it the Dustin Pedroia eyes? It get dusty in there?
I was like, oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
The Adnan Syed thing, by the way, that's three episodes. There's only four total. I thought the last one was pretty good, episode three.
Again, if you listen to Serial, it's stuff you already know, for the most part.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's definitely true.
So,
oh boy. All right. Anyway, wow. Not to end on a down note, but hey, the movie Us was terrible.
Go watch Anvil and watch guys play a flying V guitar with a vibrator. That'll cure it for you.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. Maybe I'll do that right after. Yeah, that's a good point. That. Ryan, next week we have a double dork week, and we're actually going to give Ripple Von Dipple the week off.
Get the week off.
He is going to take the week off to prepare for our live show. Did we tell you? We have a live show April 7th at Idle Hands in Malden. So go to Idle Hands in Malden, buy some beers, and listen to us yap it up about Endgame with Mac and Goo. So next week, we're going to do a Game of Thrones Season 8 preview with Game of Thrones expert Chris Scheim.
Yes,
we're gonna give Shime a go.
If he better be better at this than he is at karaoke.
Yeah, he had a tough time. He had a tough time. Don't get it twisted. Shark is still our resident Game of Thrones expert, but Shime can do it in studio with me, so it's gonna be Shime.
Yep.
And then WrestleMania preview for our wrestling fans. Wrestling expert Jason Rossi will join us also in studio.
So great.
So that'll be good. Then we have the live show for April 7th. And then guess what's coming around the corner, Ryan? Shazam!
Shazam!
Shazam, which is getting good reviews right now, by
great
the way.
Reviews, crushing it.
So that'll be good. You guys, speaking of reviews, you can review us on the iTunes. We appreciate that. You can rate, review, and subscribe there. Hashtag dork everywhere. Tell a friend, tell a dork. We are on Twitter at Dork Podcast. We're on the YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/DorkPodcast, where you can also catch up on Chris Scheim's Game of Thrones season recaps, and they're all like 7 minutes or less, so it's a great way to catch up on everything. And Davey B. Twitching
tonight. Maybe we'll get into the show. Maybe we'll like drop and hit piss missiles on everybody.
Piss
tonight.
Missiles, piss rockets.
They call me Davey Piss Missiles, by the way. That's what they
are. I'll add that to the intro.
By the way, Carabas from Barstool.
Yes.
Like, I've been saying that shit for years. And he's like Johnny Come Lately with the piss missiles. Like,
I know you're the OG piss missile guy. I know.
And I would, you know, if a pitcher is throwing a ball fast, he's hucking piss.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Gotcha. So it's all piss talk over here. So
hucking piss from about yay.
From hucking piss from yay with a good, some little ASR, a little arm side run. That's my game.
I gotcha.
You got me?
I hear you. About Kravis has a bigger platform.
Three quarters, a little two seamers, you know?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
throw that two seam, Ryan.
Yep.
All right, Ryan. Not a perfect movie, but another perfect episode.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.